At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike. Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
I think today we're going to talk about some tents and tent footprints. I figure we'll keep going on the equipment path that we started last week with the backpacks.
Yeah, this is another one that I've kind of been putting off, I'm not going to lie.
there's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it, and it's... I don't know. I mean, we've said before, we are amateurs, right? Like, right. I don't have a lot of experience with a ton of different types of tents and all that sort of stuff. So
right.
We're kind of going to have to go over, like, what our thought process behind some of this stuff is, but we don't have a lot of experience to share with everybody. And so yeah, I think that's what's been scaring me.
This is all going to be opinion-based, just kind of like the backpack things, too, but it's opinion-based on research and reviews and
research reviews, price point,
right? Yeah, price
point.
Yeah.
No, again, because yeah, we didn't want to spend a crap ton of money,
right?
So yeah, so I don't know. I guess kick us off. What do you want to start with?
Well, there's several different types of tents. I get not several, but there's different types of tents in the sense that there are, you'll hear things like single wall, double wall, freestanding, trekking pole tents, a four season tent, three season tent, tarp and tarp tents, things of that nature. So I guess we could kind of go over what the differences are between those.
Okay.
We personally, we did some research on what would be maybe a good starting out tent for someone right. that doesn't want to spend a lot of money, somebody that doesn't want to, that wants something that's lightish weight, but also easy to set up. And, you know, there's not a lot to it. That's just, it's going to get the job done, but not cost me a lot of money. And
right.
so we found that a double wall tent, freestanding is what is kind of recommended. When you don't, I'm not going to say when you don't know what you're doing, but when, well, A, we don't like trekking poles. We didn't know that, but I'm glad we didn't get a trekking pole tent.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have trekking poles at the time. So it was like, okay, well that one's out because we don't even have trekking poles.
So we ended up with a double wall tent. And what that is that's basically like your everyday camping tent type of a deal. You see the families out there with a four-person dome tent. You got a couple of poles that go through the body of the tent. Put those down, you stake in the frame, and then you've got a rain fly. So that's the two different walls, is the main tent and then the rain fly. And the benefit of all of this is that rain fly is not directly attached to the main wall of the tent, so it breathes a little bit more. Gives you some airflow, some ventilation, and if there's any moisture, condensation, anything like that, it doesn't get into the inside of your tent. It kind of deflects it all off to the exterior of your tent there.
Right. There's like an air pocket between the actual tent and then the rain fly. And then like the tents that we got specifically, the top, what would you say, the top third of it is made out of a mesh.
Yeah.
And then you put that rain fly over it. So, like, it does have a fairly good amount of airflow, you know, depending on what you have open and what you have closed and how you, you know, maybe open, have the rain fly zipped open and stuff. There, you do get airflow in there, like you said, to kind of get some of that humidity out. You and I have said before, we like to go on our long hike in August. You know, you get some fresh air coming in there instead of just baking in the sun.
Sometimes it's not enough, but
sometimes it's not enough. I will vouch for that. but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing. So the one that we have, that's because Mike and I, we've said in the previous podcast, we have a lot of the same equipment. So
yep,
the
we have
tent
the same
that we have right now is one of the things that we actually both have the same one. That is a three-season tent, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so the two options are basically three-season and four-season, right? Am I right on that? That's basically what I have read everywhere.
Yeah.
Is that the big differences are you get either a three-season, which is spring, summer, fall, or you get a four-season, and really the biggest difference there is just the thickness of the material, more or less.
Right. It gives you some more insulation to hold your body heat in better and all that kind of stuff. They are, if it's a single wall four-season tent, it's going to be horrible for your condensation because you breathe out, there's moisture in that, and if that moisture can't leave, it's just going to accumulate on the wall of your tent. So just keep that in mind. That a single wall tent in the wrong conditions, in my opinion, it's going to be wet.
Well, and I just can't imagine. I don't know what, I mean, theoretically a four season tent, right? Theoretically you could use that in the summer, but with that thicker material and the less breathability of it, I almost can't imagine having a four season tent in the summer. I feel like it would trap too much heat in it.
I almost feel like they should call it the fourth season tent. You can use it in the fourth season where you don't use the three season tent.
Same page. Yeah. So we have the three season. What is ours considered? It's considered a geodesic tent, right? Or a dome tent, I would assume.
I believe it's considered a dome. It's literally two poles, the X in the middle, and
two shock corded aluminum poles, your typical shock corded tent pole.
Not a square, but it's because it's a single person and a person isn't square, you're a rectangle. So, but I do believe it is still considered a dome tent.
Right. And then we both have single person. I mean, the tents that we have are single person tent. They come in various sizes. You can get 1, 2, 3, depending on who all is staying in the tent. Really, is it just you?
Right.
Is
you and a spouse? If you're a bigger person, I'm a 5'6", 165 pound person. I don't take up a lot of space. But I almost want a two person or a two person.
I know we actually were talking about that on our last trip that we took about, cause some of the people that we were camping, near when we were up in, Pictured Rocks.
Yeah.
Some of the other people, there was somebody that was an ultralighter, and we'll talk about that in a minute too, what an ultralight tent is.
Yeah.
But there was the lady that was an ultralighter. There was the other ladies that we met at that other campsite that had two person tents or three person tents. There were those sisters that we ran into that had their tent was huge. It had to be a three or four person tent. But you and I have a single person, and it is big enough. I don't want to say that it's not big enough for a single person, but it is only big enough for a single person. And again, Mike and I are not big guys. We're, fairly short, not super heavy. We're fairly in decent shape for our age, short guys.
I've got my winter weight on, but that's okay.
Well, exactly. I don't want to say we're in great shape, but we're in decent shape, So in a single person tent, it is just big enough to get in and lay down in. And then ours have a built-in spot. They call it a vestibule. So the rain fly has an extra I don't want to say an extra piece to it because it's all one piece, but like an extra, it makes like a foyer almost for your tent.
Yeah.
That's outside of your actual tent structure, but underneath the rain fly. And so that area is really meant to like store your gear in.
Yeah.
And then that's separate from where you're sleeping in. So it's only a single person in the actual tent part, but it's got like an extra half person in this vestibule area where you can put your pack and your shoes and all that sort of stuff in to keep it somewhat covered.
Right.
That seems to be a pretty popular thing, that vestibule, for whatever type of tent you get.
Yep.
In the dome tent category.
And I would highly recommend it. I was surprised because we got rained on our first trip. And I was very surprised at how dry everything, with it even not having a floor, anything like that. Maybe it's just kudos to us for knowing where to set the tent up or whatever. But the water was dispersed from the rain fly enough to where it washed away and the ground underneath the vestibule was completely dry. So I was very impressed with that, especially being that we did not get a very expensive tent. I was very happy with that. So
I know that. Well, and that's the other thing. Like, these are not top of the line tents that you and I got. They're not bottom barrel.
No,
but they're not top of the line. I mean, what did we spend on ours? We spent $100 on them.
I was going to say maybe 100, 120.
That's what I'm thinking, like 100, 120, somewhere in that range. So not cheap.
Right.
But not outrageously expensive. You know, like very, very middle of the road, very beginner price point. I mean, beginner for us, I understand that's a lot for some people. So,
It was within our budget. I mean, there are less expensive options out there that I'm sure they have to be decent enough to get you out there. I don't think a company in good faith would sell you a product that would send you out into the woods in the middle of nowhere.
Based on my experience with air mattresses, I think they will sell you an interior product.
And trekking poles.
You and these trekking poles. I know we bought cheap trekking poles, but the trekking poles we bought, I feel like they're functional. This is getting off topic, but I know we bought cheap trekking poles, but I feel like they do just as good as expensive trekking poles. I still just don't get them.
Right. Maybe we'll have to rent some nice trekking poles just to see.
I'm not doing that. All right. Unless somebody can convince me to do it, I'm not doing that. But, let's talk about, you brought trekking poles up, so let's talk about trekking pole tents. So that's another option that you have. Like, if you are the type of person that you have trekking poles already, you want them. You've got mobility issues. You've got whatever your reason for having trekking poles. Maybe you just like them because they look cool. I don't know. But you're the type of person that you're going to go hiking and backpacking with trekking poles. So they make tents specifically for people that take trekking poles, because the thought behind them is, and maybe you've done a little bit more research on these than I have, Mike, because you seem to be obsessed with trekking poles, but correct me if I'm wrong. The general concept behind it is we're going to use your trekking poles as tent poles so that you don't have to carry additional tent poles when you're already carrying this other pole that can be converted to use to make a tent out of.
So if you picture like the old school, like military type tents and all that, where they've got a pole on one end, a pole on the other end, you put the canvas or the material, stretch it out over top of that, that creates your roof. And then you stake out or use rope or whatever to pull the other ends, like, so you can build the floor out.
Those are referred to as like A-frame tents, right? Like when you see an A-frame tent, that's talking about.
So instead of the traditional aluminum or whatever pole that is used for those tents, you use your trekking pole. You jab it into the ground. You get the handle. It's got a spot to insert into the top or the part of your tent. And then you just set your other trekking pole on the other side. You pull it tight and you jab that in. And then you stake it down. They're very lightweight. I believe they're only single wall. There's no floor, I don't believe.
Yeah.
No, I think...
I know, that's what I was confused by. Is there a floor?
I believe there are.
Are there ends? Because, like, when I think of, like, the old school... Okay, they do zip. Okay, because when I think of, like, the old school, like, Boy Scout type tent or whatever, in my head... There's no ends to it. Like, it's just like the A-frame
part. Yeah, one end will have a vestibule, I believe. Some maybe higher end models might have a vestibule on both sides. But it has a little spot. It will zip up to help keep bugs out and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I still don't know. There probably are some that are double wall, probably some that are single wall. But they are the biggest con. With them and the pros and cons list is that they are not as sturdy. So if you get a night where there's strong winds or anything like that, they are a lot more likely to topple, especially if you didn't get your trekking pole in right or your other surrounding poles in right or stakes in right then.
Well, and here's what I don't like about them. I mean, and this is just a personal preference. This isn't like a pro or con for or against them. But one of the things that me, Sean, personally – does not like about them. The thing I like about our tent, the dome tent or whatever we're calling that style, is like you can get the poles and get the like shape of the tent before ever staking it down. So you can get it all set up and then pick it up and move it. Like if you're not in exactly the right spot or you go to set it up and it's like, okay, well this went a little bit further to the left or a little bit further to the right than I thought it would. And now I'm on this rock or I'm on this tree stump, not tree stump, but like tree root or whatever. Like you can pick it up and move it a couple inches or a couple of feet or across the campsite if you want to. Where with like those A-frame ones, like once you start putting it up, that's where it's gonna be going, unless you take it down and start all over.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big things I liked about the style that we got is like, okay, gives you the option to get it to full size and then figure out, okay, is this where I want it or do I want to move it over here a little
bit? Well, yeah, and there's other times too where, I mean, I've even had it where I start setting the tent up, everything's good to go, I start staking it down, and there's a rock or a big tree where I'm putting the stake, so I've got to move it just a little bit there too. It's not even just that, like, I got in it and I was like, oh, I got a big rock right where my back's going to go or anything like that. It's just like trying to stake it down or anything like that, so...
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the trekking pole tents. If you are a gotta have it trekking pole type of person, look into them. There are different. There's beginner level. There's expert level. Price points, all that stuff. If that's what you want to get into, there's a lot of people that swear by them. Some of the people I follow on the YouTubes and all that stuff, I've gotten a lot of good information. They use trekking pole tents, and
I think if you have trekking poles or you're going to have trekking poles on you, I think it's a viable option. Like I really do think that it's a clever way to reduce weight. It's, you know, it's using what you have. I think it's a good option if you're the type of person that's going to have trekking poles anyway.
Right.
I don't think I wouldn't recommend going to get trekking poles just so you just can get this type of tent.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the weight you save on the trekking pole type tent is the poles for the tent. So if you go get the poles for the tent, you might as well just get a freestanding tent because it's going to be less weight or the same weight. So yeah, I think that's going to be the way to go with that one. But realistically, like I said, for our purposes, we don't know what the weather is. We're in Michigan. It'll be, you know, fine one day. And then the next day you got 40 mile an hour wind gusts. So
yeah,
you have no idea what it's going to be. So I don't feel like a trekking pole tent would be real good for where we're at.
Right.
Just because of the wind conditions that can be. But I'm a big fan of my double wall and the freestanding. It's just so easy to set up. I think literally our tents are up in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If that. And then we're on to sleeping bags, air mattresses, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, No, I mean, and we do say that they're freestanding, but you do, you slightly mentioned it, but just to make sure that we're clear to everybody, even these ones that are quote unquote freestanding, we are still staking them into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Like you do still need to have like some sort of, we take a plastic hammer that we got on clearance at, where'd you get that hammer?
The Coleman outlet.
Yeah, that's right. The Coleman outlet. So we take a plastic hammer, a plastic mallet, I believe is technically what it is.
Yep. and it's a stake puller too.
And it's a stake puller. But so you do need something with you, even if you're getting a quote unquote freestanding tent. Yep. You are still staking it into the ground. So just, I mean, I don't want anybody to hear this and think like, oh, it's freestanding. You don't need to stake it in. But no, they do come with stakes.
Yeah.
You're putting it in. And then the rain fly gets staked in, you know, you got your extra lines that come off it, you know, to get it taut and to keep it in its shape. And then you got to, all the things that go with that. But
yeah, the freestanding name just comes from that the materials that come in the package for the tent allow it to stand up on its own. Whereas the trekking pole tents, it's not freestanding because it requires an external piece from the package. It requires those trekking poles. So that's where that comes into play.
And to be clear, too, like we keep talking about these A-frame or trekking pole tents. They make A-frame tents that do not require
trekking poles.
So like you could get an A-frame style. Like if that's the style you want, whether you like the look of it, whether it suits your needs for whatever reason... They do make those that come with their own poles as well. Yep. You don't have to get a trekking pole style, but that's one of the options of that A-frame style. You could get one that uses...
Yeah, I will say this to add into that too. I forgot about it, but those A-frame tents that have their own aluminum poles or anything like that, they also, if a pole breaks, bends, anything like that, and you have trekking poles or somebody in your group has trekking poles, you can use the trekking pole to as a backup so you're not without. I did read that.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I mean, so that's probably one of the cons, I guess I would say, about our style tents is if we're out there, it hasn't happened yet, knock on something.
I had a pole break in the backcountry. It cracked.
Did it break or did it crack?
It cracked. It held.
Yeah, because I have one that's cracked right now. I mean, it works, but it's cracked.
Yeah.
Maybe that's worth pointing out to have a plan for if that happens. Because, like Mike said, ours only have two poles. If one of them, like, actually breaks, I'm not entirely sure what we would do, to be honest.
Lots of sticks.
We might be snuggling for a couple of nights in one tent. Maybe that's all the more reason to get one for one of us to get a two-person tent,
right?
Just in case.
Yeah, just hope that it's not the pole on the two-person tent that broke. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's a fair point.
A lot of tents, I will say this, a lot of our tents came with a patch kit. So if you get a rip or anything like that, it's got a little patch kit to where you can patch it. I don't know that you're patching it in the backcountry because I think it takes an iron and all that kind of stuff. But
I know. I'm less concerned about patching a hole. Like, I feel like I could manage. Like, it might be, okay, you're getting bugs in your tent or you're getting a little bit of...
We take duct tape. Least of it, we could fashion something.
Sure.
But a lot of the tents I did see come with sleeves that will fit over, like they're a
reinforcement cuff type thing.
Yeah, like it'll snap around your pole, and you can slide it into place, and that will hold any kind of cracked piece or whatever until.
Well, maybe we should look into getting some of those.
Yeah. I did, and I don't know that our tent has those because they're not a real expensive option tent or whatever.
Right. But they probably have some aftermarket or something.
Yeah. So
yeah, we should probably do that. Okay, write that down.
Yeah, they have those little reinforcement cuffs or whatever. I mean, like I said, we take duct tape. Duct tape's not going to slide over the little metal. Joint and conjoiner piece or whatever.
You might be able to make it strong enough. I don't know. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
That's how we've been doing everything else. So
here's another type of tent that I came across, and I don't fully understand this one, so you tell me whether you came across this one in your research at all. They're calling it a tunnel tent. Does that mean anything to you?
That, I think, is a freestanding style tent. Remember the girl that had the two-person tent that I had to go check out when we were at?
Yep.
That, I believe, was a tunnel-style tent, where ours opens up more or less on the side, wide side of the tent. Okay.
Oh.
Hers opens up on the ends. So you kind of tunnel and burrow into the other part of your tent. The tall end is the front.
That kind of makes sense then, because they're saying from the research that I was doing, so one of the things they were saying about these tunnel styles, so like, okay, that makes sense if that's the style, but they're saying that they are better if you're in an area that is typically windy.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it is stronger and holds up better to the wind. And I would believe that based on that description, because instead of having the door compromising one of the large sides of the tent,
right,
now you've got the door compromising the sturdiness of one of the ends of the tent.
Yeah, and they kind of just, the back end, I'll call it the back end, it's not the end or the side you enter through, but that is typically lower to the ground. It's more aerodynamic, I believe.
Yes, hers was. Okay, yes, it was kind of funky shaped. Yep. Right, okay, yep, that totally makes sense then. Yeah, because it was like a scoop almost shaped to it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So that's another... Correct me if I'm wrong on this. It is a freestanding tent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's
they make them double wall, really, and single wall.
Kind of like a dome tent style. It's just the opening's in a different spot.
Yeah, hers I think was still two poles. It might have been a three pole.
Okay.
I didn't really. I was looking more at the size because she had a two person tent and I was intrigued because we have single person tent. So I was.
And hers was an ultralight, wasn't it? Wasn't that one an ultralight?
Hers was an ultralight. It weighed less than our single person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it.
Yeah.
It costs about six times as much as ours because I looked it up.
Exactly. Right. So just to briefly touch on ultralights, which we have said in the past, like anybody listening to this is probably not in the ultralight sphere, but just so people are aware, if you're listening to just this episode, ultralight is. I mean, really, the whole concept behind ultralight backpacking is, I mean, the name says it all. It's ultralight. So, like, all
everything
of your
weighs nothing.
Right. Everything weighs nothing. It's all down to the grams.
Your poles are, like, carbon fiber, like, just barely weigh a thing, but they're strong as hell.
Right.
You know, the nylon is ultra thin but strong as hell. Like everything is manufactured and tested and all that kind of stuff to weigh nothing but be strong enough to withstand the backcountry. And that's why it costs so much. Is like I said, we said our tents cost about $100-$120. I looked it up, that tent was every bit of $600-$700. So that's why when we said that we purchased a tent in the $100 level, that was our beginner level budget or whatever, and that's why. Because I mean, there's tents that are $1,000 or $2,000.
Oh, absolutely. There's tents that are $1,000. You can spend.
Yeah.
Look, if you've got money,
right,
this might be the sport for you, because you can spend some money to go live like a homeless person. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to homeless people, I don't mean that to sound derogatory, but like, you're going out into the woods.
You can spend a lot of money to look like you got nothing.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And no disrespect to ultralighters out there, because if that's your thing, do what makes you happy.
No, I'm jealous because my stuff weighs stuff. Like, it weighs.
I know. I the thought of having a tent, a two-person tent that weighs 1 pound, all told, poles, stakes, the whole thing, it weighs 1 pound.
The bag that it just is stored in.
That is very enticing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as somebody that struggles to figure out how much Chex Mix I'm allowed to bring, or trail mix, or whatever, can I bring an extra, nip of booze?
Right.
well, maybe if I got an ultralight tent, maybe I could get an extra sip of booze in there, you know? So, I mean, I get it. I get the appeal of the ultralight.
Right.
I don't feel like it's a beginner thing. So I don't know if anybody listening to this is going to look into it, but just for anybody that's looking at tents, if you come across an ultralight, that's what they're selling you is it is lightweight.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is. The stuff is supposedly super awesome.
Yeah.
It doesn't weigh a damn thing.
Well, she couldn't stop saying enough good things about that tent, and which, if I spent that kind of money, I'd want everybody to look at it and know about it.
But, right. Like, please, come look at my tent that I spent an entire car payment on.
I would probably never want to let it touch the dirt, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's talk about not wanting to touch the dirt then. So, not to segue too seamlessly, but so the other thing to keep in mind
like you're a professional.
That's I've been practicing.
That's two practicing these segues really good all day. Segues this episode.
I'm a natural. But no, so then there's these things. Okay, and just being honest with everybody, I don't fully get the point of these. I do not have one, but there's something called a tent footprint. Okay.
Yeah.
We have looked into them. Neither one of us have one.
So I used to use one in quote unquote a tent footprint with my old family dome tent when me and my wife used to go tent camping. We used a tarp.
You used to use a tarp.
Well, that is a style of tent footprint as is found in our research.
Yep.
And primarily it is used to prevent rips and tears and damage to the bottom underside of your tent and to help with moisture. If it does rain, you want the underside of the tarp or footprint to be about a couple inches at least from the wall of your tent. You want it inside. You want it smaller than the bottom of your tent, right? And that way, if water, anything is running underneath the tent, it'll go should go underneath the tarp too or the footprint.
Yeah.
So it helps keep you dry internally. I felt that the reason I stopped using the tarp when I was tent camping is I felt that every time I put a tarp underneath the tent and it rained, I had it underneath the tent. I didn't have it poking out so the water could just puddle on top of it and all that stuff, but I still ended up with water on it. So
You were probably in a low spot.
Probably. I don't know. I stopped using them.
The basic idea is, of a tent footprint, much like a tarp that you would use when you were a kid car camping. Mm-hmm. The whole point of it is it's protecting the bottom of your tent, right? Like the long and short of it is if you're going to be using this tent a lot and you want to prevent sticks, rocks, dirt,
pine cones,
whatever, from poking through the bottom of your tent, you want to extend the life of your tent, you get this footprint. So then if something were going to get a hole, a scratch, a tear in it, well, then you're just replacing the footprint and not replacing the whole tent, which theoretically is cheaper. I don't know. I mean, you and I have said before, we're sleeping, let's say in a good year, we sleep in our tents 10 nights a year. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't feel like that's enough to warrant getting the footprint. So with our tent specifically, so the tents that we have with, they're Alps Mountaineering, right? That's the brand.
Yep.
I feel like we're allowed to say that. The tents
we
that
can
we have
say
with
whatever
Alps
the hell we want. It's our
show.
Okay,
fair enough. It's our show.
I mean, so the tents I will that we be have reaching out to them and Steep and Cheap now that we've mentioned their names.
There's Steep and Cheap again. Not a sponsor.
Yet.
But like they make a specific footprint for our tents.
Yep.
So like you can buy whatever model a tent it is, and I don't have it written down, so I can't tell you exactly what model we have.
It's Kodiak
the Coda 2 or something
or
like that.
Coda 1. Coda 1 because it's a one person. Coda 2 is the two person. And get this, the Coda 3 is a three person.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm on board. I get it. At least it makes sense.
It makes sense. There's not a trick.
They make a footprint specifically for that tent. So, like, you can buy for most backpacking tents, if you want a footprint for your tent, chances are the manufacturer makes a footprint for that specific tent as well. If they don't, you can buy a generic slash universal one, just figure out what size you need. And like Mike said, you want a couple inches smaller in each dimension than the actual footprint of the tent is. Or realistically, do the old school style and just freaking cut a tarp to size.
Cut a tarp to size, or set the tarp down and fold it under, or get some melamine plastic, like some, like, probably, I don't know, probably 10 mil, 20 mil drop cloth type melamine plastic from the hardware store. Lay your tent out, cut it down, and you could use that and roll it up in your tent.
I mean, you probably could. I feel like you'd be better off going with a tarp at that point. Because that stuff's not lightweight. It doesn't really pack down that nice.
Packs down pretty nice.
I get a three-pack like that. I know, but, I mean, you're going to wind up throwing it away. Let's be honest.
Probably.
And then it's plastic and... We've talked about plastic before.
Okay.
That's all the things.
All right.
Most footprints, like if you buy an actual footprint, it's probably going to be like a nylon or a polyester type material. It's going to pack down nice and small. It's going to be pretty lightweight. It'll
probably
be fairly durable.
It's a little cinch sack type deal.
Might even come, or worst case scenario, roll it up with your tent, you know, whatever, put it right in with your tent. But, you know, or like I said, I mean, if they don't make one specifically for that, you could cut a tarp to size and it would probably do the same thing. I'm not going to say it's a bad idea. I will say it's, you and I have not gotten one.
No, it's not the worst idea. We talk about it now, but we'll see how next August goes, because I started looking into that and started wanting to plan that, and I don't know that we're going to find a lot of actual campsites along the trail. Okay. We're going to be... disperse camping a bit. So
honestly, until you just said that, that did not even occur to me that you and I typically stay
at a groomed campsite.
In a groomed campsite.
Yep.
It did not even dawn on me about our trip next year that we're planning that they would not be groomed campsites. And I can kind of get on board more if that's the type of backcountry camping you're doing, where you're just pitching a tent.
Yeah.
Wherever you can. That makes more sense to me, I'll be honest with you. So if you're going to do that style of camping, yeah, I kind of get it. I probably would recommend it in that scenario.
Yeah, because you don't know what the ground is going to be out there, because they haven't cleared trees. They haven't, you know, done all this kind of stuff and put a fire ring in.
Yeah.
You know, type of stuff. Like, it's dispersed camping, like what we did when on our... bailout night, or our quit night. We dispersed camp. We didn't have a fire. Turns out I read that we could have.
I think we had both had enough. I just wanted to go to bed.
Yeah, I had a couple of nips of my whiskey just to drown my sorrows a little bit. But yeah, for the most part, just went to bed. But yeah, so I've done some more research, and that'll be another episode in itself, is know when you can and cannot have a fire type of a deal. But but yeah, it's that would be more or less when I would think a footprint would come in handy, is that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good point. I truly had not even thought of that until you just said that, and I can definitely see the benefit if you're going in an area where you are making a campsite.
Yeah.
You probably are going to have more brush and stuff that you're going to be setting up on that would be abrasive to the bottom of your tent. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yep.
We probably should look into it before we do that trip.
Probably.
Yeah. Sold. I am sold on it. Good job. I hope you're getting commission.
I have changed his mind. I knew working in sales for almost 20 years would come in handy.
Right. So, I mean, that's really all I have to say about, like, the footprints. There's not much to say about them. They're a piece of extra material just to protect the bottom of your tent.
Lightweight, not the end of the world.
Yeah. So anyway, so just back to, like, the actual tent part of it. I don't know if we've pretty much touched on everything. Breathability, that's a big thing in my book. Like, you know, see what sort of, any tent that you're looking into, see what sort of ventilation it has. Like, Ours have little vents on the top of the rain fly that you can kind of prop open to make like a roof vent. The vestibule zips open and like folds back to get some airflow in there. That was a big selling point for me. Knowing that normally we're going to be in the summer, I want a little bit of airflow.
Yep.
So,
well, and the nice thing about the vestibule too, is you can open up one side or the other side. So we primarily open up the side where the door opens, which makes sense. We stake down the other side. You can stake down or not stake down either and open the whole damn thing up and really get some airflow. But you can open up the side that the door doesn't open on, and that's got more of the nylon material on that side. Yep. So you can get a little bit of that airflow in there. There's options,
I actually did that one of the days that we were up in Pictured Rocks where we got to camp really early one day, and it was a hot day, just hot. And we got there early, and it was like, you know, okay, we're to camp. We're here early. I just kind of want to be horizontal for a few minutes, you know, like I don't want to take a nap, but I just want to lay down. Like, we've been backpacking, this has been on my back, you know, my legs are sore. We were a couple of days in at that point. So I set my tent up, didn't even put the rain fly on it, but there were bugs. So I wanted to get away from the bugs. Uh-huh. So I set everything up minus the rain fly. So it's just a tent with like a mesh top on it at that point. It was letting the breeze come in. You know, you're still kind of sort of out in nature, but you're away from the bugs. That was a really nice way to use the tent. To just kind of relax, like not to sleep in, not strictly utilitarian, but like it was a nice way to relax, being in, away from the bugs, laying down, still out in nature, good airflow, not too hot. So that's a long-winded way of saying like you can use it without the rain fly. But
and that's a benefit of the double wall tent too, is that you can take that rain fly off, or you can open the vents, or you can do this, that, or the other thing. You get a single wall tent, and that's all you got. You open the door or the vestibule or something, but you don't have the ventilation that a double wall tent provides.
Right.
So that's
right.
If you're in any kind of a humidity or heat situation, that's where I'd recommend. Other people might have differing opinions. That's fine. My experience and research has led me to, I have been looking at a different tent. I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger or not, but I am looking at tents.
And I feel like we are constantly looking at something. Like, well, I'm looking into this, I'm looking into that. That's the problem with this hobby, is like you get started and then it's like, well,
you see somebody else is pretty shiny. So I have primarily been looking at double wall tents. I have no interest in a trekking pole. I know what my wants are. I know what I personally like. So if you get out there and you know you're going to carry the trekking poles, like I said, look into those trekking poles. They probably make a double wall situation that you can utilize, but look into it, because we haven't done that extensive amount of research into those that – we're just here to tell you that that's an option to look into. We didn't even know that was an option to look into when we were starting. So,
well, and the funny thing is, and I hate to keep saying this, I feel like we say it on every episode, but it's like, you do you, or you do what works for you. Like, I hate saying that on every episode, but like, realistically, backpacks and tents, this episode and the last episode, like, these really are a personal preference thing. Like, use what is going to work for you. And I know it's hard to say that when you maybe do or don't know what's going to work for you, but it's a very personal thing. Like, you either like one style or you don't. You either want this thing or you don't. You're either okay with a single person, or you want a double person, or you want a three person. Like, what all are you bringing? What all do you want to set up? What all do you want to do in your tent? Like, I personally, and Mike knows this and he'll shake his head when I say it, but like, I don't mind changing my clothes outside of the tent. I find it very hard to change my clothes inside the tent. Our tent is so small that I cannot move around in there well enough to comfortably change clothes.
I don't have that
I'm out in nature. I don't care if people see my butt. It, whatever.
I know.
I change clothes.
But I don't have a problem with it. I mean, right. Well, I don't have a problem. Like, whatever. You change outside. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Right. But I also don't have a problem with changing or, like, getting dressed in the tent.
Well, you're just a little guy. I mean. But, like, so, but all of that to say, like, if you're going to be doing more activities in your tent, you might want a bigger one. Like, even if it is just a single person, you might want a double person. Or, depending on the type of backpacking you're doing, maybe you're only hiking a couple miles. Maybe you're staying there for a couple of days, and then maybe you're hiking back out a couple miles. Right. If that's the way you're hiking, you probably are bringing more stuff than Mike and I bring, because you can. You're not going as far. You don't.
You might
have to
be
worry
taking
about
a camp, like a real deal camp stove. You might be
right. What do you want in your tent at night? Mm-hmm. What do you want in with you out of nature, you know, in quote unquote safety? So, like, all those things, you're going to have to figure out what are your priorities,
right?
What size tent and what style tent fits those priorities. For Mike and I, the dome tent, freestanding tent, double walled tent, that made the most sense for us.
Yep.
That maybe doesn't make the most sense for you, and that's fine. But think of all those things when you're looking at a tent, is what all do you need your tent for? Yes, you need it to sleep in, quote unquote need, because maybe you're a I keep wanting to say kayak. What's the word that I'm looking for? Hammock. Maybe you're a hammock tent or a hammock camper, not kayak. Maybe you're a kayak camper. I don't know. That's a whole different thing altogether. We've talked about
extended family that has done the kayak camping.
That'll be a different episode, because we've talked about wanting to try that too. But you know, think about all the things you're going to need, and then what type of tent fits what your needs are.
Yep. Yeah.
And don't let anybody tell you you're wrong. Like,
right. I mean, we keep saying like maybe we're doing it wrong or whatever. You're going to have the same thought process too, because you'll see somebody doing the exact opposite of what you would be doing. It works for them. Don't yuck their yum if it works for them.
Right.
And just know that you do it a different way, and the way that you do it works for you. So it's everything. You're not doing anything wrong on the trail if you're having a good time and you're doing it safely. You're not getting hurt and you're staying dry and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, and that's half the fun of being out there is seeing what other people have. Like, you know, what equipment do you have, or what piece do you have that you just can't live without, or what is that that you're doing with that? Like, I mean, that's half the fun, seeing how other people do it.
We saw
the fact that we don't all do it the same.
Right.
Is part of the fun.
We saw that couple that were camping, and they brought along their kids, and I would have left them at home.
Oh my gosh. Those people, I mean, we did not get their names. We didn't actually talk to them, but, like,
they went walking past
young kids, like, were carrying their kids and their backpacks.
So I was, for the last episode, I went to the local Cabela's here, and I was just looking at backpacks and all that stuff. They make the frickin' backpacks that have
with the carrier built in.
They have the baby carrier in front of the strap. Like, no.
No, I know. Can you imagine?
I'm sorry, but I'm not a kid person. I don't want to be around them. I don't, whatever. If you
more power to you. Right. And I think that would, like, imagine the memories that those kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe at that age, I don't know if they'd even remember, but, like, if you're exposing them to that at that young of an age, like, good for you if you can do it.
Sure.
That is not for me.
Nope.
That's too much work for me.
Nope.
But, I mean, the other thing that I just got for Christmas that, Thermacell bug repellent thing that screws into your camp fuel.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that thing existed. We saw somebody out on the trail that had one of those. It's like, oh, what is that?
And then
it's like, okay, well, I'm for sure getting one of those.
Taking a regular Thermacell, like schmucks and all that extra space and all that stuff. So
all that to say, do what works for you.
Yep.
It's fine. Nobody's going to make fun of you. You might even give somebody else an idea.
Yep.
But figure out what works for you.
Look, they won't make fun of you to your face. They might.
True.
They might make.
They might go home and start a podcast and make fun of you on the podcast. But
right. But they're it'll be a conversation starter whether you want that or not. I didn't think I wanted that at first. Our first group campfire experience this year, I was very nervous about that and did not know how that was going to go. And it just turns out everybody's just nice out on the trail.
Turns out everybody is super nice. So
it'll be a conversation a starter. Community. You talk about your different gear. You talk about all that kind of stuff. It's a great community to be a part of. And so if you end up with a tent and you see somebody else with a different style tent, talk to them about it. See what they like about it, what they don't like about it. You might think what they don't like about it would really work for you.
Right.
So.
Well, and the other thing, and not to keep, I feel like we plug REI a lot, and like, I swear to God, we are not sponsored by REI, but they, like I'm sure other outfitters do, but they offer the option to rent a lot of equipment. Mm-hmm. So like if you, again, if you just don't know, maybe see if there's somewhere you can rent a tent and see if that style is going to work for you.
They also, not to really plug them, we did not buy into their membership, what I forget what it's called, but you can be a member of their plan or whatever. If you buy something and you try it and it doesn't work for you, you can take it back.
Yeah.
Even used. So
yeah,
it's not a bad idea. We just didn't join in because, like we said before, it's 2 hours to get to an REI around us. So we made a trip and we talked to some people and then figured it out.
Yeah.
But if you've got one within an hour or half hour, then might not be the worst thing for you to join that club. And then if you try something out, you can just take it right back to the damn store.
Right. So
and try something else. So
yeah. So that's pretty much the only thing that I have on my list of things to discuss about tents and tent footprints. Did you have anything on your list that we haven't covered that you feel like we should?
I do not think so. I am double checking, but we've pretty much covered everything on my list. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if anybody has any questions about anything we've said, you disagree with us, you have something to add, you just want to reach out and talk, you can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. We are on all of the major socials, Facebook, Threads, TikTok, although I don't think we've ever done anything on TikTok.
Yeah.
YouTube, all the major places, at seanmikehike on those. Feel free to reach out to us and let us know what you think about anything. I will keep going with the plug of if you like this show or podcast, please rate, review, and smash that subscribe button. I'm not gonna say that.
Yes, you are. Do you want to be an influencer?
It helps. It helps get the word out about the podcast. If you have an episode that was helpful to you, maybe share it with a friend that's looking into getting into hiking. It really does help to spread the word about the show. That's pretty much all I got. You?
The only thing I'll say is if you make a comment on the North Country Trail Association Facebook page, I may or may not dip in and comment and also link the show to it. So if you're offended by that, let me know and I'll remove it. But other than that, I'm just trying to get the word out there.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
All right. But other than that, go take a hike, Sean.
Yeah, go take a hike, Mike. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks.
If you've got money, this might be the sport for you.